Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea. Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Excuse me. Wow, frog in my throat. Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Randy Fine, your show host. Well, I want to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving. I hope you all had a safe holiday and continue to have a safe holiday weekend as you celebrate with your family, loved ones, and friends. I know we probably all ate way too much yesterday, and maybe we're a little sluggish today, but today's show is going to really perk you up, because we're going to be talking about miracles and the power of angels with our guest, Joseph Holmes. He is a survivor of adolescent sexual, emotional, and physical abuse, and he has a very simple message that he believes will benefit you, as it has done for so many others. In 1991, his life turned upside down. A nervous breakdown followed by a period of deep depression ushered in his dark night of the soul. And over time, he became aware of the angels around him and his spiritual life. The book Love Notes for Your Soul began in earnest. It's a story of transformation available to all of us. It's also a story about healings and miracles. So you definitely want to hear what our special guest today has to tell us, and he's going to tell us his story. So let me introduce you. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning, Randy. Nice to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. Thanks. So, Joseph, you have a very interesting story. Why don't you start off by telling us how all this came about?
Well, as you mentioned, I had a nervous breakdown, but prior to that, a few years prior to that, I had met a man, John Lawrence, and after meeting with him, I went over to his home. He was in his 90s at the time, and I went over to his home just to get acquainted with him, and we meditated together and chatted for a while. And during the meditation, he kind of kicked the leg of the coffee table, and you know, he's 90 years old, so I just kind of opened my eyes slightly to make sure he was okay, and his eyes were like, you know, he had seen a ghost, and he was staring above my head. But he was okay. So we just continued meditating. And then after the meditation, he excused himself and he went to another room and brought back a crucifix. And he said, "This is what I saw hovering above your head." And he gave it to me as a present, and I really didn't know what to think about it. You know, I mean, nothing like that had ever happened. And so I really didn't think much about it, just that, well, maybe he saw it, maybe he didn't. You know, so anyway, it was time to leave. And when I went to my car, I got in, and, you know, you get in your car and you close the door, right? You just normally close the door. Well, I did that, and there was this tremendous bam. And my car and myself were encased in this bubble of white light. And Randy, I don't know how I got home. I can't tell you. But I did get home, and I sat down to eat, full of food, and I brought it up to my mouth. And about 12 inches away from my mouth, I couldn't get it any further, any closer to my mouth. And this bubble of white light, the vibration was so fine that it just didn't allow the grosser vibration of the food to penetrate. And I couldn't eat for a week. I was able to take fresh juices. I don't know why, through a straw, through the side of my mouth. I don't know why it was like that. But that's what happened for a week, and then gradually it dissipated. And after that, I went into a deep depression. And, you know, I went from one end to the other end. And, of course, I wanted to get back into that white light. But that was kind of a prelude to the nervous breakdown. I think if it wasn't for that experience with the white light, I don't know what would have happened during the nervous breakdown. But I got through the breakdown, and then my life continued on from there.
Okay. So you, at some point, you came to meet Mary Magdalene, who
right.
you call Maggie.
Right.
How did all that come about? And let me first ask you, are
sure.
you someone who is a religious Christian?
I'm a spiritual person.
Okay.
My mother was a first generation Irish Catholic, and we did attend Catholic church, but we also at different points of my childhood attended the Methodist and other churches. But I remember my mom using incense in the house. And, you know, that's related to the Catholic Church. But I'm more or less, I'm a spiritual person now. I believe there are many ways to the one source. But to answer your question about meeting Mary Magdalene. After my nervous breakdown, you know, as I was recovering, I wanted to get back into that white light experience. And at that time, that was in the early 90s, there were books being written about the white light. You know, so it was a popular concept. And, you know, I just, I was so desperate to get back there that, I took this one-week workshop, and I think it was called Life Mastery. Anyway, I took it, and it started on a Sunday. And on a Wednesday evening, we had a breathing session, a deep breathing session. The lights were out. I was lying on my back, and there was maybe 10, 15 people in the room, all doing, you know, on their back, breathing. And during the course of that exercise, a set of eyes appeared above me, and it was just like a rectangle, and within that rectangle were a pair of eyes, and I thought they were my mother because she had passed away a few years before. And as the breathing continued, all of a sudden the eyes expanded, and it was Mother Mary. And I don't know how long, Randy, maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes, she bathed me in gold and white light. And then she was gone. And I didn't know what to think. I thought, well, okay, it must be a blessing, right? Hopefully it's a blessing. I'm sure it was, but for what reason? I didn't know. Well, two nights later, and now I know it was to prepare me for what happened two nights later. Two nights later, I had an out-of-body experience. And I remember I was trying to leave my body, and I kept hitting my crown chakra and falling back in. And I just kept doing that over and over. And finally, I burst through the crown chakra. And I remember looking down, and I was, you know, now when we have these experiences, our language doesn't have the syntax to properly describe what's happening. So I just use whatever words, you know, I think best describe it. But I'm assuming I was going at the speed of light. That's what it felt like. And I looked down and I saw that the trap, what I was calling the trap door, the crown chakra there, that was the white light. And what they showed me was what the white light that everybody was talking about being, you know, the ultimate experience was just the beginning. And I went into these light regions, you know, just these areas of rarefied light. And we just kept going and going and going. And finally, the guide that was with me stopped me because there was this region of light in front of us. And he said, you can't go there. I didn't know it at the time, but later I was told that was the light of Mary Magdalene. But I said, well, why not? Why can't I go there? He says, because you'll combust. You can't handle that. And so I came back into my body. And for the next 6 months, I was in this state of, again, we don't have the context. I was talking to a Catholic, somebody, you know, a practicing Catholic one time about it. And he said, oh, you were in a state of rapture. So I guess the Catholics call it rapture. But, you know, I'm kind of a quiet, shy person, you know, but I'd be in the supermarket and just out of the blue with no warning, I just burst out with laughter and giggling, and people would look at me. And so I was in this state for 6 months, and then I came out of it, and I went into another depression, you know? And then a few years passed, and I thought, you know, I wasn't going to do any more breath work anymore. I was just, you know, done with these periods of depression. And I heard they were going to do a breath work at the Mission San Luis Rey in Oceanside, California. That's one of the 21 California missions, and it's my favorite mission. And it's also the mission of Mother Mary. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll just go there. Maybe I'll be able to meet Mary again. So I was locking up my school, and I told everybody that there weren't going to be any classes because I was taking a workshop. That's all I said. So I was locking up the building, and one of the parents came up, and they said, so why are you taking the workshop? And without thinking, Randy, just what blurted out on my mouth was, oh, to meet Mary Magdalene. I'm driving home. And I'm thinking, Mary Magdalene? I don't have any interest in meeting Mary Magdalene. Why did I say that? I'm going there to meet Mary, right? So anyway, I go into the workshop, and it's a Saturday morning, and the facilitator says, okay, we're going to do some deep breathing, but we're going to do it sitting up in a chair with the lights on. And that's not the way I met Mary the first time. And I, you know, my ego is saying, oh, no, you know, this isn't going to work. You know, I have to have the lights off. I have to be on my back, you know. But you know, I played along. I did what everybody was doing. And so I sat in the chair, and we started this deep breathing. And in through the door comes Mary. And she's got somebody with her. And they got these long black capes on. And they, you know, they fly up to me, and they start circling me and wrapping me in these black capes, and they're giggling and just, you know, being, you know, facetious. And well, the person with her was Mary Magdalene. And I swear, Randy, when Mary said, "Okay, I want you to go to lie on the floor now," the exact moment the facilitator said, "Okay, everybody to the floor." So we laid on the floor on my back, and my head was in Mary's lap, and Mary Magdalene was hovering above me. And now I could see them now. They weren't like ghosts, but they weren't like you and me. They were kind of in between. And Mary Magdalene was hovering above me, and she came and just kind of, her whole being just came into me. And that's when she healed me of my molestations as a child. Now, she didn't heal me completely. She only healed me to the point where I could point, I was in my 40s. I had never told anybody about these. And after that, I could freely talk and write about them, no problem. Well, so that happened, and then the moment, and then Mary said, okay, we have to leave now. And the moment she said that, the facilitator said, okay, everybody start coming up, sitting up and coming out of your deep breathing. And they left. And you know, my ego is like, you know, you think I'd be happy that I even saw them, right? And I was, but my ego's, you know, is saying, God, they didn't even say goodbye, you know? And the moment I thought that, Mary Magdalene stuck her head around the corner. She got this big grin on her face, and she goes, you know, right up in front of me. And she cups my face in her hands, and she gave me a little kiss on the lips, and she goes, you silly boy. And then she was gone. And so from that point on, for the next couple years, she stayed in contact with me. And then in December, excuse me, in December of 2013, she woke me up at 2 a.m. and she said she had some, she called them at the time poems. So I came into my office, I sat down at a yellow pad. And I don't know, for an hour or two, they just came through. And they're four stanza poems. We call them love notes now, love notes for your soul. And every morning she would wake me up, and every morning I've been doing that since 2013. And, but that was in December. In March of the next year, I started having doubts. And I thought, oh, come on, you know, am I really speaking to Mary Magdalene? Am I just, you know, fooling myself, making all this stuff up? So that morning I said, I want proof that these are really coming from you. And I said, now, I don't want something nebulous. You know, somebody says they see a UFO and they take a picture and it's a real fuzzy and, you know. No, I said, no, I want something like a burning bush, right? I want a burning bush where it's irrefutable that these are coming from you. Well, you know, a day went by and nothing happened. A week went by, nothing happened. A month went by, nothing happened. But the notes kept coming. And I pretty soon I just forgot about, you know, it was kind of a demand, right, for a burning bush, and I forgot about it, but the notes kept coming. And in July of that year, that same year, so it went from March to July, she tells me she wants me to publish these. Now, I have to go back, because in December, when she first started relaying these to me, she asked me if she could call me by my middle name, which is Joseph. I said, well, sure. And I said, but I like to call you Maggie. And I said, I know Maggie's not a nickname from Magdalene, but I've always liked the name Maggie. Would it be okay if I called you Maggie? And she said, yeah, that'd be great. So she started calling me Joseph. I started calling her Maggie. Okay, so now it's July.
We got to go a little faster.
okay. But now okay. It's July. So, we're almost done. Yeah. Now it's July. And she says she wants me to publish these. So I'm thinking, well, okay, I got to get somebody to read them and maybe give me a testimonial. And I don't want it to be a friend or somebody I know, right? So I look on this website with these hundreds, if not thousands of people who do these different services. And you know, it took too long to read through everything. So I just went by the pictures. And I went through these pictures after picture after picture. And I found this picture of this woman. And I looked down, and her name was Angelina. I sent her the notes, and I said, I'll pay you to read these. I'm not going to pay you for a testimonial, but I'll pay you for your time to read them. If you feel inclined to give me a testimonial, I would appreciate it. She wrote back. She said, no, I don't do that. Sorry. Well, this went back and forth for a few days. Finally, she said, send me the notes. I didn't tell her anything about them, just said they were poems. I sent her some, but then when I sent them, I sent her the story about me calling Mary, Maggie, and all that. And she wrote back and she said, Joseph knows me as Angelina. But when I was growing up, everybody called me by my middle name, which is Magdalena.
Wow.
And my very closest friends called me Maggie.
Wow, amazing. Yeah, that was it. That was your burning bush,
wow.
Right?
Well, and one more thing. A month later, I guess after she got more comfortable with me, she wrote to me and she said, I have to tell you this. People call me Angelina because my father named me Angelina, but my mother wanted to name me Mary. My birth certificate is Mary Magdalena.
Oh, my gosh.
And she sent me a copy of her passport to prove it. She said, you're not going to believe it. So this woman, out of thousands I could have picked, was Mary Magdalene, nicknamed Maggie.
Right.
And I even verified. I said, now, wait a minute. I said, Angelina, Maggie's not a nickname for Magdalena, is it? She says, no, it's not. But one of my friends called me Maggie one day, and I liked it, and it kind of stuck.
That's very cool. Joseph, we have a few people who would like to talk to you, and the show is moving quite quickly.
Sure.
So would you like to take a call?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. Okay, this is area code 850. Hi, what would you like to ask Joseph? What is your name? What is it? Say it louder. We can't hear you. We can't hear you. Okay, this is another caller. Okay. Area code 805. Area code 850, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay, what is your name?
Sheila. I was just listening.
Okay. All right. I'm going to put you back on hold. Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Joseph, we can continue. Are you still there?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
So that was my burning bush.
So that was your burning bush. Now, you know, it's interesting because I was raised in the Jewish faith. I'm a spiritual person.
Uh-huh.
I don't really follow I'm not a religious person by any stretch of the imagination. And I was never really raised to understand anything about Jesus or Mary or Mary Magdalene or any of these kind of things. And I was getting a healing one day. A woman who was a healer was working on my body. And one of the first things she said to me was that Mary Magdalene was in the room.
Oh.
And I thought, wow, why would she come to me?
Right,
I don't even really know who, you know, I mean, I know the story, but why would she come to me? So when when I got your information, it was like, wow, okay, maybe there's more I need to know about this. But you were not having religious experiences. You were having transforming and healing experiences, right?
Yes. No, I should make that clear. There's everything that has happened with me, with Mary and Mary Magdalene, there's absolutely no religious overtones to these experiences at all. They don't come to me as religious icons. They just come to me as angels.
Okay. So so your book is called Loving Yourself Wealthy, The Power of Angels. So tell us about the power of angels.
Well, this is Loving Yourself Wealthy is a 6-volume series, and The Power of Angels is volume 3. So as I put together volumes 1 and 2, and doing interviews, people would say to me, well, that's nice that you can see your angels and communicate with them. But what about people who can't see them? You know, what do we do? And so in the 3rd volume, as I was putting it together, Maggie told me to write in the introduction that it's okay if people can't see their angels. Anybody who is drawn to any of these books, I also have, a weekly love note for your soul that people can sign up and get free weekly. Anybody who signs up for those or comes into contact with these love notes, Maggie said, that is like they're adopting me as their angel, and it will be with them from that point on. Or
okay.
I should say they will be aware that she is with them. She's probably been with them all the time, but they just weren't aware. So, and that gave me, that made me feel a lot better, because there are a lot of people that, you know, for a variety of reasons, I mean, it took me, 40 years before I saw anything. So that's the uniqueness of Volume 3. And Volume 3 is the most popular of the 6 volumes. That's the one most people gravitate to. So.
Okay. And you talk about, she talks about different angels in the book. And
right.
Yeah, let's see, Hercules.
Right.
And let's see. I like this one.
What page
my dear,
is that?
My dear, my love, this is 80. This is a very fun angelic food. Play with it, and you should remember my bounty that I give you every day. And then, I love you so much, you will say. And you title that Loving Marshmallows.
Right.
So some of this is whimsical. But you also talk about Gabriel, and you talk about Michael. And so you talk about a lot of different things in this book, divinity, desire, very, very, very interesting. How do we get this book if we're interested?
Well, if you want a digital copy, you can go to josephconfidential.com, and that will give you your listeners a discounted digital copy. If they want the paperback, they can go to my website. It's lovenotesforyoursoul.com, and there's a link there where they can get the paperback. For the digital discounted copy, it's josephconfidential.com. For the paperback, it's lovenotesforyoursoul.com.
So what did you come to learn about Mary Magdalene and what her role was when she, her incarnated role? Have you learned more about who she is? Because I thought angels were God's assignment or the universe's assignment, that angels never incarnate.
When you say, Anina Morjani, who wrote Dying to Be Me, she has an interesting statement in that book. Because people said, you know, she had stage 4 lymphoma cancer and was healed and allowed to come back into her body and continue living. And so people asked her, they said, well, are you always in that state? And if you're not, how do you get? And she said, the best way for her is that you have to drop all dogma and doctrine. You have to drop all ideas that you have, all beliefs and non-beliefs. to get into that state. And that's what our ego will do, Randy. Will, you know, when I hear that, well, angels can't incarnate. Well, that's just a belief, you know. And so I really don't pay attention to any of that. I just experience what I experience, and other people experience what they experience. And you know, we're all here. We're all here to learn. We're all here on our individual paths, and I think we're all here on individual parallel universes, so to speak.
Right. Yeah.
So what can be a truth? Excuse me. What can be a truth for one person? It may be a different truth for someone else. So.
Okay.
But you know, one thing that tends to do, and she's very patient with me. I've been speaking about in the last few interviews because I think it's an important topic, is doubt and fear. You know, every day we make choices, and we only have two choices. You know, we make a choice based on fear or doubt, or we make a choice based on love. And that comes to loving yourself wealthy, right? Wealthy in all aspects of your life. So when you wake up, you have a choice, right? To brush your teeth or not brush your teeth. Right? Well, you might decide not to brush your teeth that day, you know, because maybe you have some, I don't know, self-esteem issues, right? Or you may decide to love yourself and brush your teeth, you know. But every decision we make every day, we only have those two choices. Well, I think most people, make decisions based out of fear, because that's how we're brought up and conditioned to do so. So last year I was beginning, you would think, right, after the burning bush, I wouldn't have any more doubts, but that's, you know, you're always going to have your ego, right? And the ego started acting up again, and I started having, just started to have doubts again. And so Maggie said, look up Migdalia. I said, Migdalia? Well, in 1968, I was my first year of college, and it was a new school for me. I had very few friends, but there was this one woman who, I don't know, she just took a liking to me. But her name was Migdalia. She was from across the border. So her and her friends would drive over and go to college every day. And we didn't have any classes together, but between classes, we would always hang out. And she was like this, she was Latina, but she wasn't like any other Latina. She was from an extremely wealthy family, and she looked like an Aztec princess. She had this long, straight black hair that looked like silk that went down past her butt. She had this Aztec nose. I mean, if you saw her in a crowd of people, she would stand out. And I always wondered, what did she see in me? I mean, what attract? Well, that was 1968. They were drafting everybody to go, and they were drafting college students into the army for Vietnam. And I wasn't about to shoot anybody, so I enlisted. So I didn't have to do that, but they still sent me to Vietnam. And when I got to Vietnam, you know, everybody knows you're new because you're clean, and I had to stay in Saigon for a few days for my paperwork to process. And they said, everybody asked me, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to play coup. And every person I said that to said, oh no, that's the worst place you can go. That place is crawling with Viet Cong. Well, you know, thanks a lot, but that's where I'm going. So I went to play coup from May 1969 to May 1970. The whole year I was there, we never had any problems. We were never hit. The airbase next to us got hit on a weekly basis, a mortar fire. Now, when it was my time to leave the country, I went back down to Saigon and had to wait for my paperwork. When I was there, I got word that the unit, the building that I worked in, took a direct hit, and three of the friends that I worked side by side with were killed. Well, when I was doubting it, Maggie said, look up Migdalia. Well, I haven't thought about her, you know, for ages, but I never forgot her name because it's a very uncommon name. So I looked up Migdalia, and it said flower. And I thought, well, yeah, she was like a flower, okay. But then I was thinking, okay, so why is she asking me to look this up? So the next day she says, look her name up again. I said, well, I looked it up. It means flower. She says, look it up again. Use a different dictionary. So I used a different dictionary, and it says Migdalia of Magdalena.
Wow. So this has been, okay, this has been in your life. So all these synchronicities have been pointing to one thing. So what do you think? What do you think this is all about? Ultimately, is it to help you, or to help you and help others? I mean, what is your ultimate goal with this?
I think it's to relay the message to myself and to others that doubt is the killer of your dreams. We're all sent here to shine our light, to play our music, whatever that may be. And most of us don't, because of doubt and fear. And what Maggie is teaching me is to just choose love. Choose love and have faith. And let your light shine. And it's not easy. It's not easy for anybody, you know. It's not easy for Jennifer Lopez. It's not easy for Barack Obama. You know, it's not easy for anybody. We might think it is because we see them, you know, in all their glory, but we don't see what they went through to get there. And it's you can call it a price to pay, but if you have the right mindset that, you know, your angels are with you, they're guiding you. And how do you listen to them? Well, you listen to your gut, your intuition. You know, if you can't, you know, I happen to know who my angels are, okay? If you don't happen to know who your angels are, go with your gut feeling, your intuition, you know, instead of your head. You know, your head is logical, and it's the domain of your ego, and it's going to talk you out of everything if it can. You go with your gut, and when you go with your gut, you're forced to go with your faith. And if you talk to anybody who's any famous person, they'll tell you that there was faith. Edmund Hillary, who the first known person to climb Mount Everest, you know, he was a beekeeper from New Zealand. You know, he didn't know anything about climbing a mountain. And they asked him, said, wait a minute, you don't know anything. How are you going to do this? He said, I don't know. You know, Thomas Edison, you know. And I asked him, well, how are you going to invent a light bulb? You know, and it took him 10,000 attempts, right? And he said, I don't know. So, you know, people who do great things don't know how they're going to do them. They just move. They take action. They take inspired action, meaning they listen to their intuition or their angels, inspired action, and they have faith. You know, Rhonda Byrne, who made the movie The Secret, right? They asked her, well, did you visualize this? She says, no, there's no way I could visualize it. So I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. You know, but she right. said, I just took inspired action and I had faith.
Right. Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good advice. So we are coming close to the end of the show, and I want to say again, we've been talking to Joseph Holmes, and we are actually focusing today on his book, Loving Yourself Wealthy, The Power of Angels. Joseph, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being my guest today. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, Randy. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, have a wonderful holiday weekend.
You
take
too.
Take care. Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.